while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are we this morning?
Good.
Good. Praise God. I think it was cute that you guys think that you're the greatest church in the world. Very cute. Very cute. But I'm from West Graydon Baptist Church, the greatest church in the world. And I'm here with the greatest wife in the world. Jemima, and also the greatest child in the world. But I thank God that I'm serving the greatest God in the world. Amen? Amen. 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 Church, can you turn to someone and say that God is good? And turn to them and say, God did not say we can worship him however we want. And turn to the other person that you ignored and tell them the same thing. God did not say we can worship him however we want. And I've heard people say, look, this is the way I worship God. You can't tell me, you can worship God however you want, but this is how I worship God. But church, God did not say we can worship him however we want. And I want us to see something as we walk through the scriptures. Adam and Eve, they were cast away from the Garden of Eden for one main reason. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted before the Lord for one main reason. At Babel, remember the Tower of Babel? The people tried to build this tower that would reach to the heavens, and they were scattered all throughout the world for one main reason. Nadab and Abihu, who knows who these people are? In Leviticus chapter 10, these are Aaron's son, the first priest. On their first day on the job, their first day of duty, they were struck dead for one main reason. King Saul was rejected as Israel's king for one main reason. Do you remember Uzzah in 2 Samuel chapter 6? This man who tried to help the Ark of Covenant, he reached out his hand to touch the Ark of Covenant, but he was struck dead for one main reason. Ananias and Sapphira, remember Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they were struck dead for one main reason. What was the reason? Brothers and sisters, if we understand the reason and never do what they did, we will be a blessed church. What was the reason? It's simply that they all worshipped God their way instead of worshipping God his way. They all felt that we know how to best glorify God, even though how they're doing it is not found anywhere in the scriptures. They told God, this is how we're going to worship you, even though God has clearly set forth in his word how we should worship him. And for this reason, all of them received the judgment of the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, what we need to understand is worship is not our attempt to reach God on our terms. It is our surrender to approach him on his term, because only a holy God can teach us how to get close to him. Amen? So one thing we need to know about our God is that he doesn't play around when it comes to this thing called worship. God doesn't play around. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that our God is a very particular God. Amen? Some people think that God is so laid back as anything goes with our God. God is like a laid back Ghanaian man. Anything goes. My dad is one of the most laid back men that I know. My mom would say, what do you want to eat? Anything. Where do you want to go? Anywhere. What shoes do you want? Any. He's just so laid back. Do you know the kind of people I'm talking about? Yeah, that's not our God. He's very particular. And if you don't believe me, read the book of Leviticus. It's not anything goes with our God. It's not anything that can be offered to our God. Our God, in his sovereignty, has laid out clearly for us how we ought to worship him. He's laid out clearly for us how we're meant to glorify him, and we dare not do something that God has not required. Amen? That's why God didn't care that Nadab and Abihu were his priests, the first priest on duty. God struck them dead when they offered strange fire, unauthorized fire before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a very scary time. We're living in a time where many Christians think that they can worship God however they want. Many people think they can offer any sacrifice that they want. and they can approach the throne room however they want, and they can preach however they want, and they can apply God's word however they want, and they can pray however they want, and they can serve God however they want, and they can sing songs however they want. But these are the many people that will hear one day the words from Jesus, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Brothers and sisters, I want to urge you at Apollos Hill Baptist Church, never assume that your worship is the right worship. Always check yourself biblically as a church, because many, again, churches think that they're worshiping God, but their worship is not rooted in the scriptures. In fact, their worship is nowhere to be found in the scriptures. And today I'm not talking about worship styles where we have freedom to have different worship expressions before the Lord. I'm talking about things that God has clearly set in his word that we dare not touch, that we dare not change, that we dare not add or take anything away from it. Like the preaching of God's word. One of the scary things that I've seen is that people say, "I don't need the scriptures. I don't need church structure. I have my own personal experience before God." Church, never let those words utter your mouth. There's things that you don't need to assume. You don't need to fast and pray to find out how to glorify God. You don't need to go to the mountaintop and receive a direct revelation from God about how to worship him. God has set forth how we should worship him in his word. And this is what we find in our text today. Do you have your Bibles, church? In this particular psalm, if you look at the context, this is written by a man named Asaph. And he was one of the worship leaders that were appointed by King David. And he writes songs before the Lord, and some of his songs are written throughout the book of Psalms. And in this particular psalm, he's identifying what true worship looks like. And what I find interesting is who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the people of Israel, to people who know God's word, the people that God chose and clearly set forth how they should worship him. He's speaking to people who should know how to worship God. And I think this is very important, because today I think we're living in a time that where non-believers are beginning to detect how we should worship God. And so today we have these kinds of churches that all they do is to attract people into their churches. It's the lights, it's the cameras, the actions, the smoke machines. It's the minister who's flying from a drone coming down and preach. And they're attracting people that way. But we know that these people are not attracted to God. They're attracted to the glamour. Because what you win people with, that's ultimately what they're going to worship. So Apollos Hill Baptist Church, when it comes to how you should worship God, don't compromise for non-believers. When they come to your church, welcome them and preach the gospel to them. Let them see you worship God. Let them see the love that you have for God. Let them see the love that you have for one another. Don't compromise true worship for God for non-believers. In this passage, God is speaking to believers. And he's rebuking them. If you read earlier on, he's rebuking them because these people are worshiping him however they want. They are offering many sacrifices before the Lord, many rams and bulls, but God doesn't accept their worship because their heart is wrong. They're worshiping God like a chore. But what God is showing them is that he doesn't need their worship. In fact, all the things that they offer to God are the things that God has given to them. And we recognize today that if nobody worships God, God would just raise up stones and rocks that will worship him. Amen? If we don't worship him, God will raise up the rocks to worship him. And so God, through this author, he identifies what true worship looks like. And I want us to look through this together as a church. Are you still with me, church? I know it's warm, so please turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't sleep." I'm going to stay in this text this morning and hopefully bring out to us what true worship looks like from the mouth of our God. Verse 14 to 15 says, and I'm reading from the ESV, which might be a bit different to the NIV. "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Amen. So what kind of worship does the Lord want? See, anytime we come across Bible passages where God lays out what he wants, you should listen up. Anytime you come across clear passages about what God requires in worship, everyone in this church should be attentive. And if you are a true church, you will listen. Why? Because don't you want to worship God for who he is? Don't you want to worship God according to what he requires? Churches that don't pay attention to these kind of verses and worship God however they want are truly worshiping themselves. We're saying that we want to worship God, but according to our terms. But we're told here how we should worship the Lord, and it's to offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. In other words, God wants you to be thankful when you worship Him. What God is showing us is so beautiful, is that everything that we offer to God must come from the spirit of thankfulness. Because previously, God has been rebuking Israel about offering offerings to the Lord, sacrifices to the Lord, but they're coming with the wrong heart. So God is showing them that you can't give offerings without gratitude. You can't sing songs without a love for God. You can't serve God but not delight in Him. There must be love, there must be thankfulness. Amen? So God wants a heart that recognizes His goodness and responds with genuine thanks. And now we need to be honest with ourselves. At times, our worship to the Lord is just done with an ungrateful heart. A lot of our worship that we give to the Lord is just through tradition. It's just something we do on a Sunday. We're just going through the motion. There is no heart. There is no true love for God. In fact, a lot of our worship is just down to singing. The height of people's worship to a holy God is just singing one day a week. And yet they don't truly profess and love the Lord that they sing to. Sometimes our worship is only done when God has done something good for us. I see this sometimes in my own life, and I need to check my heart. When the good things are happening in my life and God is truly blessing me, that's when my hand is lifted and I'm thanking God for His goodness. But when the storms are blowing, I run from the God that I first sang to. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't accept that worship. He wants thankfulness in all seasons. He wants us to delight in Him in all seasons. And this thankfulness must be intentional. This thankfulness doesn't come automatic. It needs to be chosen. It needs to be cultivated. Real thanksgiving is not just a reaction to a good circumstances. It's our deliberate worship to a God. And that's why I believe that this kind of worship is truly sacrifice. Thanking God is truly a sacrifice. Thanking God when you are suffering is truly a sacrifice. Thanking God when your life is falling apart is truly a sacrifice. Thanking God when your life is uncertain is truly a sacrifice. But this is the kind of gratitude that really honors the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I think it's beautiful that the Lord says, offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Because I believe that thanking God in hard situation really reveals what you believe about God. Because a true thankful heart, no matter what, will say, God, you are faithful. God, you are good. God, you are enough. But often we have a complaining heart that says, God, you haven't done enough for me. Brothers and sisters, when we struggle to thank God in all situations, we need to examine, what is it that I believe about God? See, one of the most beautiful sights that I saw 3 years ago was something that happened to my family, a tragedy that happened to my family that still affects us today. And it was when my 15-year-old cousin was on her way to school in Croydon and sadly was killed by this young man. And I remember the day that it happened. I wasn't in the country at that time. I was on holiday with my wife, and I remember calling my auntie, and she was really heartbroken. Deeply broken. But my cousin died on a Wednesday. And on Sunday, my auntie, who lost her only daughter, was at church. Her hands were lifted up. She didn't understand why this has happened, by the way. But she was confused. She was grieving. But she was at church on Sunday. Her hands were lifted up to her Creator, and she was thanking Him. Brothers and sisters, if we can't worship God in our difficult times, then what is it that we believe about God? Does our hard situation, does it justify us not giving God thanks? Does it justify not giving the Creator who gave you breath this very morning thanks? Does our difficult time, does it justify us not giving God thanks? No, it doesn't. And when we choose to walk away from Him, when we choose to deny His goodness, it shows that maybe we don't know this God that we're worshiping. It shows that we don't fully understand Him. We don't really worship Him just because He's God. It shows that we haven't quite grasped the beauty of who He is, that maybe we've bought into some false assurance. Maybe we've bought into a bit of the prosperity gospel that says, if I give money to the church, then God will bless me at all times. But a thankful heart in all situations reveals what you really believe about God. But a thankful heart is not just a heart that just says, thank you, Lord. It's not just words. It is demonstrated through our actions. Our thankfulness to God is demonstrated through our action. That's why the author tells us to fulfill your vows before the Lord. In other words, this gratitude that you have towards the Lord is not just words. It's meant to lead to obedience and faithfulness to God. A thankful heart doesn't just say, thank you, God. It says, God, my life is yours. So pay to God the love that you promised Him. What are the vows that you said before God? Have we not all at one time in our life said that, God, we will follow you no matter the storm? Who said that this morning? We've all said that. Have we not said that, God, I will worship you no matter what? Some people probably thinking, Denzel, I've never said those words before, but maybe you sang it. You made these commitments at your baptism that I will deny myself, I will pick up my cross, and I will follow Him. Today, the author is saying, if you've made these vows before the Lord, then fulfill these vows. Amen. Fulfill it. The same way we're called to fulfill the vows to our spouse, there is a greater vow that you must make before the Lord, and you must commit to before the Lord, and that is to worship Him. Amen. The vows made before God must be fulfilled. Storms are coming, still go for it. Difficulties still arise, still do it. He's not a God that we should only fulfill those vows when good things are happening in our lives. Commit to these vows. So brothers and sisters, this is the way that we ultimately worship God. And when we call upon Him in a day of trouble, look at what God says. Those who come before Him with a thankful heart never think that God will neglect you. In His sovereign timing, in His sovereign way, in His sovereign power, He will deliver you and you will glorify Him. Let's move on. Verse 16 to 17. Are you still there, church? Yes. But he says, but to the wicked, God says, what right do you have to recite my status and take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. Amen. Another scary thing that we see coming out of the mouth of Christians is, I can have my interpretation and you can have your own interpretation. Have you heard that before? This is my understanding of the Bible. You can have your own understanding of the Bible, and it is what it is. I don't need the scriptures to worship God. I have a personal experience with Jesus. And so I don't need the Bible. I've got my own direct hotline to God. Brothers and sisters, what we see God saying in this passage is, I did not say that you can worship me and yet disregard my word. I did not say that you can worship me and enter the throne room of grace and yet disregard my word. I did not say that you can have my words on your lips and do nothing with it. This is not how we worship the Lord. And remember the context. He's speaking to people who know the word, people who know the Bible, people who have the covenant of God on their lips, and yet they disregard the application of the word. In fact, they hate it. They hate it when it rebukes them, when it disciplines them, when it corrects them, because ultimately these people are worshiping self. Let me just say it loud and clear for us this morning. God did not say, Paulus Hill Baptist Church, that you could worship Him truly and yet disregard His word. Think about it. Adam and Eve, King Saul, Uzzah, what did they ultimately have in common? They were people who disregarded the word of God. What did God say to Adam and Eve? Do not eat from this tree. What do? They eat from this tree, disregarding the word of God. Uzzah, God said to the people of Israel, no one but the priests should touch the Ark of Covenant. What does he do? He touches the Ark of Covenant, disregarding the word of God. Why was King Saul rejected as king? Because in 1 Samuel chapter 15, God says, go and kill the Amalekites. Kill everyone. Don't leave anything. What does he do? He keeps some things, disregarding the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something that I know you already know. But you cannot worship God without the word of God. It doesn't matter if you want your church services to be lively. It doesn't matter if you have this emotional experience at church on a Sunday. If your emotions and feelings are not rooted in the Bible, if it's not rooted in the God of the Bible, then your worship is in vain. How do I know this? Because Jesus himself tells us that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. People only focus on the spirit part, but don't focus on the truth. Nowadays, people think that they can worship the Lord, honor the Lord without the word of God. Many people think that they can truly worship the Lord, and yet they're in churches that have a false gospel, a different gospel. They're in churches that don't preach the word, that change the word and progress the word and add to the word. We're living in a scary time where people believe that they're truly worshiping God, and yet they don't have a right understanding of who God is. I'll never forget the day I had a conversation with my sister who was in a prosperity preaching church. Her church, if I tell you some of the things that were happening in her church, for example, the pastor went to Israel for a mission trip and he picked up some stones and he came back to the church and said, these were the stones that David picked up. And so if you buy these stones, you can slay any Goliath in your life. And the whole church was going crazy. My sister is a single mother of three kids. She paid £200 for one of those stones. It's funny, but it's sad. But that's the kind of church she went to. And I was trying to encourage her to leave that church and go to a Bible teaching church. And I gave her a couple of suggestions. And she went to these churches and she never stayed. And when I was having conversations with her, she was basically saying, look, yeah, I know the preaching is really good in these churches, but I really love the worship music. Because in these kind of churches, literally people are jumping from the chandeliers and they're worshiping God. And she loves the music. But then I had to be real with my sister and said, but sis, you're worshiping a God that you do not know. It's great that you're singing. But if that church is not preaching the word of God, you are worshiping a God that you do not know, because the God that you're worshiping is not rooted in the scriptures. Paulus Hill Baptist Church, it doesn't matter how lively you want your church services to be and how energetic you want it to be. If your worship is not rooted in the God of the Bible, you are worshiping something else. It doesn't matter if you get emotional. It doesn't matter if you start crying. It doesn't matter how passionate you get. I know many churches with great zeal, and yet they're worshiping a God that they do not know. We must be people who worship God in spirit and in truth. We are living in a scary time. I'm going to keep saying that word, scary time, throughout this sermon. But we're living in a time where people think that I can read God's word publicly on a Sunday, but disregard his word throughout the week. That's what we see happening in this text. I can hear sermons being preached to me on a Sunday, but that lifespan of that sermon is between the chairs and the door. I do nothing with it. The word of God is just thrown away. The application of the word is thrown away. And these are the people in this text. But church, we must understand that that worship that we have, our whole life should be a worship that glorifies God. So we are naive to think that I can worship God on a Sunday, give God my best voice on a Sunday, and yet neglect his word throughout the week. Brothers and sisters, you haven't worshiped God. You've just entertained yourself for a couple of hours. Church, we see from this text that God rejects all who take his covenant upon his lips, yet they have no regard to live his word throughout the week. I love a quote by a famous theologian called Hermann Bavinck, and he says, true religion is not merely confession of truth, but a life shaped by it. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. As you're worshiping God, have the Bible in your hands. See how God has called us to worship, and then do that very thing. Amen? Verse 18. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. Again, God did not say that we can worship him truly and yet our actions be evil. God did not say that you can worship me and yet love wickedness. God did not say that you can delight in me and also delight in wickedness. How do I know this? Because we're told by Paul that light and darkness, they have nothing in common. And in this particular text, we see the people who have the word of God on their lips. They have the statuses of God on their lips. They claim to worship God, and yet they see a thief that clearly does not glorify God, and they're happy with that thief. They keep companies with adulterers. See, I remember having a conversation with one of my family members. I have a crazy family. I can give many sermon illustrations on them. But one of my young cousins, he looked me in my eyes. He knows I'm a pastor. He looked me in my eyes and said, Denzel, it's okay to be a guy and go to a strip club. Like he was being dead serious. That I'm a Christian and I go to a strip club. And I didn't know whether to slap him on the face or I didn't know what to do. Like he was being serious. And I remember thinking in my heart that clearly you don't know God. You don't have the heart of God. Because if you understood the heart of God, you would never utter such silly words. Remember, our God is holy. And therefore, his people must be holy. So the way that we worship God is to constantly pursue holiness. This means that anything that God does not like, anything that God hates, we hate too. Amen? And yet in this passage, these are people who claim to worship God, and yet they love wickedness. The 8th commandment is thou shalt not steal, and they're encouraging the thief. The 7th commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery, and they're endorsing adulterers. And I know we've come across this as a church, where we have people who make bold professions of faith about Jesus, and yet they love wickedness. They keep company with wicked people. But they know the Lord, the knowledge of the scriptures is on their lips. They know God's word and yet they love wickedness. But in my personal opinion, I think when you look at this passage, I believe it's describing an unbeliever. People that Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 7, depart from me, I never knew you. But these same people said, look, didn't we perform mighty wonders in your name and drive out demons and prophesy in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. But these were true Christians. They say, Lord, Lord, they really know the word of God. No, they had some fruits and some signs of Christian growth, but God did not know them and they didn't know the Lord. I'm confident because I believe that nobody who's truly regenerated by the Holy Spirit will be a person who loves sin and is never convicted by it. I mean, we see this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Where John tells us that no one born of God makes a practice of sinning for God, a seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Amen? And we see this again, over and over again. People who confess that they are followers of Jesus Christ, but they're not convicted by their sin. They're living together in sin with people that they shouldn't be. They're consistently getting drunk every other week. They're committing some sort of fraud. They're beating their wives. They're indulging in pornography in a way that is not glorifying the Lord. I'm not saying as Christians that we can't sin. We can. And we do sin. But by the grace of God, we go to God and we ask for his forgiveness. But this passage is talking about people who love it. They enjoy their sin and they feel no conviction over their sin. No person in this situation can clearly say that they're worshiping the Lord. Let's not fool ourselves. God requires holiness. So Paul Hassel Baptist Church, you cannot draw near to a holy God while still clinging to something that he hates. True worship is not just lips that honor him, but a life that turns away from wickedness. Lastly, let's look at verse 19 to verse 20 before people sleep. We're told that you give your mouth to free rein for evil and your tongue frames the seat. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. Scary things going on here. In this passage, we see that these people, they had the word of God on their lips, but then they used those same lips to slander their brother. In other words, they were gossiping. They uttered words to God. God, you are beautiful. God, you are holy. God, you are great. God, you are magnificent. But those same lips, they used to do the work of the devil. Brothers and sisters, be careful of the tongue that you have. A piano that is out of tune cannot produce beautiful music. It doesn't matter how skilled that person is. And in the same way, you can sing all the right songs, but if your tongue is given to gossip, that sound is distorted before the Lord. That the mouth was not designed to bless God and to break people at the same time. If it's used for both, then one of them is not truly worship. The mouth that we have is not meant to glorify God on a Sunday and gossip about people all throughout the week. And I'll never forget the day in my mom's church growing up. It was a Pentecostal church. And there was this lady who supposedly was touched by the Holy Spirit. And she was rolling around the whole church. And I was 7 years old at the back of the church looking at this, being amazed, like, my goodness, God has touched this woman. She was rolling around the whole church. And I wanted to speak to this woman. I wanted an opportunity to speak to this woman and say, how is it? What does it feel like to be touched by the Holy Spirit? And I was so happy, church. I was happy when my mom decided to give this woman a lift. And I got to be in the same car as this woman who has been touched by the Holy Spirit. But church, she was gossiping the whole way home. With my mom, by the way. Gossip, I was shocked. How is it that you've just been touched by the Holy Spirit rolling around the whole church? And yet immediately after service, you are gossiping the whole way home. Brothers and sisters, we can't fool the Lord. We can't say that we're truly worshiping Him with our lips, and yet our words are being used to damage people. God did not say we can talk however we want. Listen, to understand worship is to understand there is no part of our body that should be divorced from bringing glory to God. Your feet can do it, your hands can do it, and certainly your mouth can do it, even more so. Because we're told that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So someone who is worshiping God on a Sunday and yet is gossiping throughout the week, it shows us that they have a rotten heart. There's something deeply wrong spiritually with that individual. So Paul has told Baptist Church, let your words of praise to God be manifested in how you engage with other people. I want to look at the last verse and I'm done. Verse 21 to 23 is beautiful, but it's something that we must understand as a church. The writer tells us that these things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you, and I lay charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart, and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show salvation. Amen. There's something scary and beautiful about this passage. And it's something that I've noticed in the Christian world. The reason why so many churches and so many Christians will continue to worship God however they want. The reason why even today, maybe as I'm preaching about what God requires from us in worship. The reason why some people, maybe even in this room, might go home and say, look, I'm just going to worship God in the way I feel is right. The reason why we do this is because God is silent. And we feel like, well, he hasn't said anything to me. He seems to be okay. I'm still being blessed. I'm getting promotions at work. My family are good. We're financially good. Everything is good. So isn't that a sign of God's approval? And that's the mindset of many false teaching churches. Look, our church is growing. Our overflow is bigger than many churches. God hasn't struck us dead for preaching a false gospel. We're still growing. Our finances are over the millions. Brothers and sisters, people forget that God's silence is God's grace on display. When God is silent or slow to judge, it's because God is being gracious to you. He's giving you time to repent and to turn back to what is true. But brothers and sisters, let me remind you something about God's grace. There will be a time where it will stop. There will be a time where his presence will run out. There will be a time where God will say, okay, you can do what you want. There will be a time where God will put that to an end. And that will be the scariest time in human history, because that is the time that you cannot repent. It's a time where you cannot make things right before God. And that's what God is telling these people. These things you have done and I have been silent and you thought I was one like you. They thought God's silence was God's approval. I'm going to keep worshiping you my way because God hasn't said anything. But God tells them, but now is the coming judgment. Now I rebuke you and lay this charge before you. Mark this, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and not deliver you. Brothers and sisters, at Apollos Hill Baptist Church, one of the most graceful things that we see in this text is the warning. Apollos Hill Baptist Church, you can't worship God however you want. And if we ever do that, there'll be a time where God's patience will run out. There'll be a time where God will judge his church. But God is calling us to come to true worship, to God-centered worship, to Christ-centered worship. Run to it, church. It might not make you always feel good, but it pleases God. It might not entertain you, but it pleases God. It might not make your church grow to rapid numbers, but it pleases God. In fact, it's the only way to worship God. When we sing that amazing song, "Open the eyes to my heart, Lord, I want to see you." The only way we will see the Lord is when we worship him in a way that he has required. If you want to see God and worship him, do what he has said. So in conclusion this morning, church, the ultimate message in this sermon is the heart behind your worship is key. And I know Apollos Hill Baptist Church, how many years have you been existing as a church? 86 years. They built this building and they dedicated this space to truly worship the Lord. I pray that as you gather, your worship will be true worship. Amen. I pray that you will never ever get to a place where you feel like this is how we should worship God, and yet it's not found in the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, never neglect the public reading of the word of God. Never neglect the preaching of God's word. Never neglect prayer. Never neglect singing hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord. Never neglect baptism and the Lord's Supper, because these are the biblical ways that God has said he must be worshipped. And I pray that as you have godly people in this room, whenever you deviate from the true worship of God, there'll be people that will point you straight back to true worship. Church, oh no, God did not. He didn't say we can worship him however we want. He's a gracious God that even allows us to worship him. Why worship him any other way? So my prayer for this church and for my church and for my own personal life is, help me, Lord, to truly worship you in spirit and in truth.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.